of the Star-Spangled Banner were written, we were here. For more than two centuries, our forebears labored in this land without wages. They made cotton kings. They built the homes of their masters in the midst of the most oppressive and humiliating conditions, and yet out of a bottomless vitality, they continued to grow and develop. And I say to you tonight that if the inexpressible cruelties of slavery couldn't stop us, the opposition that we now face, including the so-called white backlash, will surely fail. We're going to win our freedom because both God's will and the sacred heritage of our nation are embodied in our echoing demands. Before the victory is won, maybe some more of us will have to go to jail. Before the victory is won, maybe some more will have to lose a job here and there. Before the victory is won, maybe some more like Medgar Evers and Channing Goodman and Jesse Lee Jackson will have to face physical death. Physical death is the price that some must pay to free their children from a permanent psychological death. Then nothing can be more honorable and nothing can be more redemptive. Centuries ago, a great prophet by the name of Jeremiah looked out at the ambiguities of history, the inequalities of life. He saw the good people suffering and the evil people prospering, and he raised the question, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Centuries later, our slave foreparents came along. They too saw the darkness and the agony of life. They had nothing to look forward to morning after morning but the sizzling heat, the rawhide crippled overseer, long rows of cotton. But they did an amazing thing.
Yes,
they looked back across the centuries, and they took Jeremiah's question mark and straightened it into an exclamation point, and in a beautiful spiritual they could sing, there is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm. In Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. And then came another verse. Sometimes I feel discouraged, and I don't mind telling you that verse means so much to me, because so often in Alabama and Mississippi and up in Chicago and all over, I feel discouraged. Living every day under the threat of death, I feel discouraged sometimes. Sometimes I feel discouraged and feel my works in vain. But then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. And so we're going to win our freedom. We're going to win it because Carlyle is right. No lie can live forever. We're going to win it because William Cullen Bryant is right. Truth crushed the earth will rise again. We're going to win it because James Russell Lowell is right. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne, yet that scaffold sways the future. And behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. We're going to win our freedom because the Bible is right. You shall reap what you sow. And with this faith, with this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to speed up the day, as I say so often, when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. our place.
Hope you were blessed and revived by the KAYT Gospel Hour as we venture back in the past for a time of revival with oldies and goodies in sermon and song.
Lead me on.
He's a wonder in my
soul.
I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 N.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Bibles to the 67th number of the book of Psalms. The 67th number of the book of Psalms. So happy to see Sister Jordan. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. The 67th number of the book of Psalms, and we're going to, be doing a series on God's mission for your life. In this new year, we all need to know and understand that God has a mission that we are all called upon to accomplish. Amen. Psalm 67, let us read it together. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And again, for just a few moments today, and we'll pick up on next Sunday with this same lesson, we want to talk about God's mission for our lives. And every believer, thank you, ushers, every believer needs to know that God did not call you out of darkness and into the marvelous light for you to do nothing. Amen. Amen. As a matter of fact, he has called all of us into his service, and each of us has a mission for our lives. This 67th number of Psalms is not as well known as some of the other Psalms. It's not as prominent as some of the other Psalms. But I need to remind you that prominence and significance are two different things. And so just because it is not as prominent as perhaps the 23rd number of Psalms, I want to suggest to you that this 67th number of Psalm is just as significant for the people of God. Now, many Bible scholars like to call this a Thanksgiving Psalm. And they call it such because you discover that over and over again, the psalmist is thanking God in anticipation of blessings that he expects the Lord will bestow upon him. And let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters, if you are a child of God and if you are a creature of faith, then shame on you if you don't expect God to do anything in your life. Where are my people in the house who believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has blessings that he wants to bestow upon you? So in that sense, yes, this is a Thanksgiving psalm, but I want to approach it differently. I want to approach this passage rather than looking at it from a Thanksgiving perspective, even though that is an integral part of what's happening here. I want to declare to you today that this is also a missionary psalm. In other words, we can find in this passage some things that the Lord wants us to do in this life. Well, when you look at it, you discover, first of all, that God is the kind of God who, number one, wants to be known. Tell your neighbor, God wants folk to know him. Amen. He wants to be known, but not only is he the kind of God who wants to be known, we also discover that he is the kind of God that wants to be praised. Tell that other neighbor, God wants somebody to praise him. Amen. I know you've heard the song that says, I don't want no rocks crying out for me. And when you study the Bible, you discover, amen, that God created us in a real sense to be instruments of praise. Now, praise is that Greek word that we get from, we get praise from the Greek word eulogio, which simply means to speak well of. And I have to remind us of that because a lot of folks sit back and say, well, I can't sing, so he certainly doesn't want me to praise him. But when you look at the word eulogio, it is the same word that we get the word eulogy from. And if you've ever been to a funeral, you know that a eulogy is simply when somebody gets up and speaks well of the person who's gone on before. All right. So praise then really is not just about singing. Amen. Praise is also about speaking. And you all have heard folks say before that your actions what? Speak louder than your word. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that you don't have to know how to sing to give God praise. Your behavior, your attitude, your manner of life can be such that it speaks well of God. And is there anybody here who knows and understands that if you walk right, if you live right, if you're a blessing to others, then your actions will give God praise? So God is a God who wants to be known. God is a God who wants to be praised. This psalm lets us know that God is a God who wants to be enjoyed. And that's important because when I give you the last thing, I don't want you to get caught up in that. Amen. The last point in this is that God is a God who wants to be feared. The Bible says that the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. In other words, I don't care how many degrees you have that subdue the level of ignorance you've attained. If you don't have a healthy, reverent fear of God, tell your neighbor, you don't know nothing. Amen. If you can come in the presence of God and act any kind of way, if you can, amen, amen, just turn your back on God and not pay attention to God, that tells me you don't have a healthy fear, a healthy reverential respect of who God is. And I know it's a double negative, but you don't know nothing. So God is a God. He wants to be known. He wants to be praised. He wants to be enjoyed and feared. And can I tell you something? Amen. The only way God will be known, the only way he will be praised in the right way, the only way he will be enjoyed in the right way, the only way that he will be feared in the right way is he needs somebody. I said he needs somebody. I said he needs somebody who will be willing to let folk know that there is a God who sits high and looks low. There is a God who has all power in his hand. There is a God who's worthy to be praised. See, somebody came to church today, amen, and they may not understand it at praise and worship, but we hope that by the time the benediction is given, they will understand why you were clapping so hard. I hope they will understand why you were singing so loud, even in the wrong key. But baby, you were singing and you were giving it your all, because somebody can say, you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. And if there's anybody here today who can say, God has been just that good to me, that I don't care who's looking at me, I don't need anybody to pump me up, I don't need anybody to prod me, I understand he deserves my praise. So I've come by today to alert us to this reality that God wants to use us. Amen. He didn't just call you out of darkness and into the marvelous light for you to take up a seat on Sunday. And I'm glad you're in the seat on Sunday. But I want you to, amen, get all that you can out of the worship experience, but also understand that God has set you in this place to be a light to somebody who doesn't know, amen, the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you look at this psalm, you find that he's saying, God, bless me. He's saying over and over again, God, bless me. Now, that sounds selfish, but when you read it in proper context, you discover that it really is not a selfish request, because not only does he say, God, bless me, he says, God, bless all the nations. He says, God, bless everybody. God, bless all the people. And y'all hear me say all the time that I don't understand haters. I said, I don't understand haters. Because if you know God, if you love God, if you know what kind of power he has, as I've said so often, if God is blessing your neighbor, ain't no reason for you to be sitting on the other side of the fence with your lips poked out and mad, amen, don't have any joy because God is blessing your neighbor. You ought to have enough sense to know that if God is blessing your neighbor, at least know he's in your neighborhood. And if you have any kind of relationship with him, I'm just foolish enough to believe that if he's on my street, baby, amen. You know how some of y'all do on the first of the month, waiting on that check? You're looking out the window, you're peeking out the blinds for the mailman to show up. You ought to be the same way with God, because if he's blessing my neighbor, he's in my neighborhood, and I believe my blessing is on the way. Is there anybody here who believes your blessing? Your blessing is on the way. So the psalmist, he wants to be blessed, but he also wants to be a blessing. He wants to be blessed, but he also wants to be a blessing. In other words, he doesn't want to be a reservoir. He wants to be a river. You know, a river is a traveling body of water that's coming from one place, but it's going somewhere else. All right, whereas a reservoir is just a body of water, you know, that water has collected there and it's just sitting there. If you ever get to traveling around Baton Rouge, outside of Baton Rouge, there's a place called False River, down around New Roads. False River. I didn't understand why they called it False River until I went there. Amen. And I went there and I was traveling along that long road, along False River, and it was a long road. And to me, it looked like a river. I said, wow, this is a long river. But what I found out is that what actually used to be one of the tributaries from the Mississippi River had somehow got landlocked, and it was no longer flowing like a river. It had actually turned into a lake. And so they called it False River because upon first inspection, it looks like a river, but it's really a lake. Y'all, I'm trying to tell somebody that sometimes in our praying for God to bless us, sometimes in our praying, we just want blessings for ourselves. But is there anybody here who can understand that one of the main reasons God blesses you is so you can be a blessing to somebody else? And so God
God, I don't want to be a faucet. I want to be a pipeline. You know, a faucet, you know, the faucet is going to bring water where? Into your house. Thank God for water in your house, but amen, give God praise for the pipeline that goes beyond your house. I'm here to tell you that a real true sign of how saved you are, of your relationship with God, is when you reach a point in your life that you don't mind seeing somebody else bless. Ooh, if you want to stare in the face of evil, find somebody full of envy. See, because envy really is worse than jealousy, because jealousy says, I'm mad that you've got it, and I don't. But envy says, I'm mad that you have it, and I don't, and I want it. Watch me now, watch me now. I don't want one like it. I want it. That's why a lot of marriages are in trouble. Amen. Somebody got their eyes on something that ain't for them. And if you just had enough spiritual sense to understand that if God could bless Susie with a man, with a job, who loves God, who ain't gonna beat you, I gotta put all that in there, because see, some of y'all just praying for a man, but you need to be a little more specific in your prayer. Because some of you get a man, but when he's knocking you upside the head, when he don't pay the light bill and all of that, then you want to run to God and say, God, I ask you to bless me. And God is looking at you and say, you just asked for a man. You need to be, come on, where my folk who've learned how to be specific in your prayer? Amen. I have come by today to tell you that God will be slow to give blessings to you if he is not able to give blessings through you. Back up, rewind, let me say it again. God will be slow to give blessings to you if you're the kind of person who won't allow him to be a to give a blessing through you. Amen. The old folk used to say it like this, a closed fist don't ever receive nothing. You know, y'all met some tight folk. Come on, y'all. I'm looking at somebody, and you know, I learned in church a long time ago that if the preacher's saying something and you're guilty, anyway, don't make it obvious. You put your head down. No, that's when you need to get loud and say, sad preacher, amen, preacher. But I hope I can change somebody's mind here today. Because God wants to be a blessing to each and every one of us, but God wants to also know that he can be a blessing through you. Give the Lord a hand of praise in this place. So for everybody up in here, I know we've made our New Year's resolutions. We're going to lose weight. Amen. We're going to exercise more. And all of that. Well, while you're trying to figure all that out, and you know you've been working on that resolution for 30 years, while you're trying to figure out how you're going to work that out, I have come by to tell you that in the meantime, tell your neighbor, in the meantime, God has an assignment for you. Amen. Amen. And here's the assignment. God, I told you, is a God who wants to be known, and I've come by to tell you that in 2016, he wants to use you to help somebody know who he is. Look at it. He says in this psalm, he says, God, be merciful unto us. Now, when you study this out, you discover that the word merciful here is not the preferred translation. In other words, when you really study this, you figure out that he's really not asking God to be merciful. Because when you say, God be merciful, you're saying, God withhold from me something I deserve. That's really not what he's saying. The more appropriate word is gracious. He's saying, God, be gracious unto us. In other words, instead of withholding from me something I deserve a whipping. But not mercy, but grace. God, give me something I don't deserve. Ooh, how many of you know that you really don't deserve to be sitting up in here today? You don't deserve it. I know you look real cute. You smell good. You look real spiritual. Got your holy clothes on and all of that. Amen. But from the pulpit to the pew, none of us really deserve to be sitting up in here in the presence of God. I hate to mess with your halo, but some of your halos need to come down, because somebody said, if it had not been for the goodness of God, whoo, I wouldn't be able to stand here and preach to you today. But can I tell you something else? Nobody would be qualified. Nobody would have the right. Amen. If it were really left up to how good we are and how much good we do and all of that, amen, the choir wouldn't even be able to sing. They just, what's that song? If you can't say a word, just what? Choir would just be up here waving. Amen. Waving. But how many folks are thankful that he looked beyond my faults? He saw my need. How many of you can thank him for his grace? The songwriter got real excited when he thought about how good God had been to him in spite of his meanness, in spite of his low-down, dirty ways, in spite of his going to some places he should, in spite of some thoughts that he thought, in spite of some words that he said, God still decided to use me. And the writer got so excited, he said, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. The good news of the hour is that in spite of you, God wants to use you. Let that marinate. Let that marinate. Amen. Let it start with you on your pew. Amen. And don't be selfish with it. Let it, amen, let it creep on down the pew. And understand that everybody on that pew, amen, is not everything they want to be, everything they ought to be, but God can still use you. Where are my people who are glad God can still use you? Oh, I'm happy about it. I thank him. I thank him that he's willing to use me. And so again, here's the first point. God wants to use you so that the world may know him. Now, when you look at this passage, notice that he says, may God be gracious to us and bless us, and watch this, and make his face to shine upon us. Notice that the gracious blessings of God are pictured here in physical terms, with God's face shining on his children. That's important, because if you know anything about God biblically, you know that God cannot stand the sight of sin. As a matter of fact, sin is so repugnant to God that when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says that he became sin for us. And in that moment that he became sin, God the Father had to turn his face. That's why Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because in that moment that he became sin, God turned his face from him. But here the psalmist is saying, God, be so gracious to us that in spite of our mess ups, in spite of our mix up, in spite of our low down dirty ways, whatever you do, don't turn your face from me. Is there anybody who can thank God when you come into the house of God that because of what Jesus did on the cross, because of his shed blood, you can walk right up into the face of God and say, Daddy, I'm in trouble and I need help. You can walk right into the face of God and say, there's sickness in my body, but Grandma said you were a doctor that never. Is there anybody glad that in spite of you, you can walk right up into the face of God and say, Daddy, I need you. I need deliverance. I need help. And won't he help you? Somebody said he may not come when you want him, but where are my folk who know that he will be on time? He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. So God is a God who wants to be known. And y'all, he wants us
to get the word out. He wants us to tell our neighbors, to tell our coworkers,